Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I'm Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Hey, welcome. We're glad you joined us here on Faith in Your Recovery. And today's 10, 12 episodes of what we're calling Jailhouse Recovery, taking place here in the Jay County Security Center, the jail at Portland, Indiana. Here in Jay County, we're pretty excited about this. It's our second time here. We came just a matter of months ago and did about 11 episodes. We hope to do about that many today. And to the best of our knowledge, this is the only podcast in the United States that's gone into a county jail and been able to interview those who are incarcerated. We're getting a lot of good information. That's exactly what we had hoped for. We're not here to condemn. We're not here to build up or to glorify anything about addiction. We're here to share with you some of those consequences, some of the battles it creates, some of the difficulties that go along with it. And we found out that these guys and gals that we're interviewing, they've got the answers. And we're of the total belief that this is a gold mine of information, and we want to share that with you. So let's go ahead and get started here with our guest, Austin. Welcome, Austin.
What's up?
Hey, glad you're with us. Appreciate it. You and I have gotten to know each other to a certain degree through our coming in with Faith in Your Recovery on Thursdays, and been good to have you as a part of that. Glad you're a part of this. Why are you willing, Austin, to put yourself on the line here and share your story?
I wanted to share because I never share my story with nobody, and I want to let everybody know how it's impacted me and what it's done to me and my family.
Man, that's neat. We have found out you're probably out of, I think this is episode 5 today of this series, you're probably the third, maybe even the fourth one who said, I've never shared my story before, but finding enough comfort to come and do that. I appreciate that. Appreciate your willingness. You go ahead and start wherever you want to start. Go back as far as you want to go back. Make sure we get to know you, what your battle's been like. It's not an excuse. It's just the facts of your life. And I'm sure that's going to bring some enlightenment to our listeners out there. So go ahead.
So I started using drugs when I was 18. I just turned 18. I started off just snorting meth. And then about a year after that, I started shooting it. And then not long after that, I started just constant battle with heroin and meth and everything I could get my hands on. Anything I could put in a syringe I wanted, mainly.
What was it that got you started on that? You were 18 years old. That's almost late.
Yeah.
compared to many, it is. Most begin those early teens, if not sooner. Good. I'm glad it was that late. Hoping it hadn't happened, but it did. Tell us why.
Well, where I was living at the time, one of the people that I was really close with, I've grew up with my whole life, and I love him like a brother. And I seen him and his friends doing it constantly and constantly. And if they were doing it, I really wanted to be involved in something like that. You know what I mean? Never thought it to be anything good, but if they're doing it, I just want to rock with them. You know what I mean?
It wasn't truly peer pressure, but by the peers, the availability, your closeness to those involved, you decide you want to give that a try. I almost said give that a shot. That's not the best choice of words because that's where it leads so many times. So, yeah. So what early on What did you see happening? And you started getting serious into those, to the drugs, to the meth and everything else.
I kept going with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I like the feeling of it. You know what I mean? I'm real bad at ADHD, and first it slowed me down, but I didn't know if I could stay up for days. I didn't miss nothing. I was constantly on top of everything. I could sell dope to everybody. You know, I didn't miss a play. It was constant money. I mean, I just liked the feeling of it, and it just never stopped. And then when I started losing people, it kind of suppressed everything, made everything a lot easier.
When you started losing people, was that family you're talking about?
Your family, friends.
Natural, you know,
some causes,
and then some of them became ODs, I'm sure. As you got deeper into the culture, you started to lose more friends.
Yeah.
Did that put any fear into you?
No. It kind of did, but it didn't. You mean, it hurt me more than anything, and I really just wanted to be with them. I wanted to see him again, talk to him one last time, but I couldn't. So I just did whatever I could, keep my mind off of it and ease the pain.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the first time I've heard that piece of the story. Okay, I wish that wasn't the case, but indeed it is. What kept you going with it? What kept you in that stream?
Just mainly the feeling of it and everybody was doing it. It seemed like it turned into something so small to so big that everybody was doing it. You mean I just seen where the money was at, and I liked the feeling of it constantly, so it went hand in hand.
Okay, so, you know, once that big wheel starts rolling, it's hard to get it stopped.
Don't ever stop, seems like.
Yeah, yeah. So how long was meth your drug of choice?
Oh, it never stopped me, my drug of choice. But then I just mainly here recently is when I just decided to start doing heroin and not stop with it. Because it's really what took all the pain away. I wasn't awake for nothing ever.
Okay, so you replaced your meth with heroin, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. So how long have you been about heroin?
I would say I did it once my first time when I was 18, but it didn't really kick what I was liking. It wasn't until I was like 19, about a year later, that I started doing fentanyl and the pills, and then it moved on to just doing insane amounts of heroin every single day. It's all I devoted my time to. It's all I chased.
How were you able to afford it? How'd you pay for that habit?
I would steal from my dad. I would break it down, make some money off of it, and I'd slowly come up, and I'd rip people off till I got what I needed to. And where I was going at the time, I can get it for so cheap. That I had an insane amount. I could sit at home and chew heroin all day constantly, and people wanted it, so I was selling it to them, and I constantly afforded my habit.
Austin, what was your lowest point on this?
When the cops were constantly there raiding me. My dad was on his way to prison because I've gotten in trouble so many times, and I really just felt horrible about it. I don't have a relationship with my sister because of it, so it brought me down even farther. But that's all coming back now, so.
What the relationship is?
Because I decided to finally change.
Hooray for you and hooray for her, because sounds like she had reason not to come back even if you did change. But she's one too. Is this an older sister or younger?
She's younger than I am. She'll be 17, the 16th of this month.
How old are you now, Austin?
I just turned 22 in July.
Okay, so you're talking about a habit of 3 or 4 years, basically, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When during that time, what was it? How did the light come on that spoke to you and said, Austin, you can do better than this. You can change your life and be the you were created to be. How did that happen for you?
Mainly this time when I came to jail. I've said it every time I came to jail, but this time it really shined light on me. My mom told me she won't associate with me no more, and I've already gotten her in some trouble because I want to get high at her house. And my mom really needs me out there. If I keep getting locked up, she won't be alive by the time I get out. And I really need a relationship with my sister and my dad. My dad's going through some things. And it's just time for me to finally change. And MRT did a big thing in my my life since I've been here, especially graduating, and I'm finally going on to rehab after I leave here.
Where do you know where yet?
Yeah, Wooded Glen.
And that's down southern Indiana?
Henryville, Indiana.
Yep, yep. They had the tornado there a couple, 3 years ago. Yeah, I met one of the guys who works there. Can't think of his name now, but it's highly thought of, and it gives you a good opportunity. Have you been to rehab before?
No.
Okay. What are you doing for yourself now that you believe is going to help you win this battle?
I've decided to cut people off and change my pieces, my places, people, and things, and stop going around with people that I know are going to just bring me back down to where I don't want to be at, and decided it's finally time to change.
You know, I understand the power of friendships, but I also understand the negative side of friendships.
Yeah.
And those people, places, and things, that's where it all begins in my estimation. That's where the addiction can begin through our people, as you described earlier, places and things. That's where the recovery can begin, is by changing those. And looking in new directions toward new people and doing new things. If it's not working, it's not going to work tomorrow either, most probably. So we've got to do that. Where in all of this battle, in all of this struggle, did you recognize your potential for a positive future? You know, you've already mentioned MRT playing a big role. Tell the folks what MRT is about in your words.
It's called moral recognition therapy. It's about learning yourself and understanding and what's basically wrong with you and what you need to change and what you can achieve from it.
What have you learned about Austin through that?
That I was a terrible person at one point, and I've done a lot of bad things, and I've hurt a lot of people, and that I learned how they felt in that situation, and that I need, it's time to move on and change what I've done and have those people forgive me and be back in their lives.
Do you think those people deserve that?
What I did to them?
No, because of what you did to them, you want to make up for that, even if those aren't your choice of words, but you can do them better as the new Austin.
Yeah, I can be there for them and do so much for them, and they deserve so much more than what I've gave them.
Okay, that's an important thing to recognize in life. Whether we're talking addiction or just some of us mature at different levels than others, so that's an important part. What continues to give you hope for this, Austin, that makes you think you can do this? You know, you're doing well with the MRT. You've got hopes of getting out and going for further treatment and everything. What gives you the hope to make you think this is the time?
Well, I've got a lot of people I've been in jail with that they tell me I'm so much better and I can do so much more. A lot of people that I haven't really known that long that really care about me, especially my family. They're supporting me all the way. And a lot of people are just trying to tell me that I am a lot better and I can do better.
And obviously, you're starting to believe that, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a big part of it. The change has already started. What's your next big step, do you think, or that next big mountaintop you want to stand on?
Well, wherever that mountaintop is, it's just not going to be in this county.
You're gonna clear out of here, and that's big.
Yeah.
Do you have opportunities for that?
Yeah, whenever I go down to Henryville for rehab, I'm going to try and find a sober living and transition myself into wherever that town is, Henryville's at, down south, and trying to stay down there. I mean, get me an apartment, get me a job, and just stay away from over here.
Okay, we're back to those people, places, and things, and that ball just seems to roll there every time, and that's where the difference has to be and the changes we have to make. What would you like to do in the future? Now, I don't mean just be clean, though I'm hoping that's number one. But once you're there, what's goals? What's that? Yeah.
Well, I'd like to start an exotic car rental company.
What's your favorite car? Let's get off the pace here a minute.
Probably McLaren P1.
All right. We're talking a few dollars there too, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be a little money. I have a friend in the Muncie area who created a package for all the Jaguars. I think it's called an XKE. There's an XK and an XKE. He created the XKE, and he's done well with that. Got himself some nice wheels, I can tell you.
Be a nice business to have.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see any way to make that happen?
See, I keep pushing myself. I can do anything if I really put my mind to it. So, yeah.
That's a good attitude. That makes you a difference maker, okay? And that difference has to start in you and with you and then grow out of you. What is the biggest lie you've told yourself through your time of addiction and using?
Biggest lie I've told myself? That I ain't hurting nobody and that I'm just... If I'm hurting anybody, it'd be myself, that I'm not doing nothing to nobody, really.
You're hurting yourself and nobody else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah, and you know better now, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, strategy to stay clean, and what's your strategy to stay out of here?
Well, my strategy to stay out of here, probably stay far away from here, make sure I make different friends, just constantly not have no time on my hands, stay busy, and just make better decisions.
Let me help you sum all that up. Stay focused.
Yeah.
And didn't you say earlier you struggle with ADHD?
Yeah.
Which makes that a difficult thing for you.
Yeah.
I don't have that issue, so that can be a little easier for me, but it's a big part of making it happen. What is a more positive behavior or attitude that you're employing in your life now than 3 years ago?
More positive. Probably, I don't know.
I'll help you. Your self-image.
Yeah. How other people see me.
Yeah. And you were talking earlier how people didn't really matter to you. Any pain you were causing or loss you were creating. But that you've seen the difference and recognize, yeah, you know, I wasn't doing them fair, and you're trying to be fair now. So let that build you up to that next level. And I don't know what it's going to be with you. And, you know, I don't know what God expects of you in the long run, but you can get there if you stay with it and stay at work on it. Besides changing those people, places, and things, which you've mentioned more than once, what are a couple of the personal disciplines you're going to employ to remain clean and sober?
Well, number one is probably my integrity and my constant will just not bring myself down and make sure that I be who I'm supposed to be.
I like you using that word integrity because that's, you know, we know when we're failing ourselves. Others may say, hey, I'm disappointed in this or that, or you could have done this or that. You don't have to tell me. I know. Most are going to tell me anyway. That's the way our society works. But as you work to maintain that integrity, you're going to become a more complete you that you're going to be pleased with being in, you know, being with and the kind of you that keeps yourself proud of who you are and what you're about. So as you prepare yourself, and you've got how much longer?
I get out the 20th of this month, so I think it's 12 days.
Whoa, so that time's short.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to remind you, if I ever come in here to do another class after that, you're here, that you told me your plans were to get out of here and stay out of here. We're talking geographically, not just jail, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the potential's there and the desire's there, and I hope that you've got the tools to make it happen. And you're welcome to get back to us at A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, anytime, and we'll help you see that through. Before we wrap this up here, is there anything else you want to share, Austin, concerning past or present?
If you're getting high, it gets easier. It'll be over eventually. That's about it.
All right. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for your willingness to share with us your transparency. 12 more days. Make it happen. Just like our advice to everybody, stay in the battle. Don't give up. Thank you, folks, for tuning in, turning this on. God bless. Amen.